Well, hello everyone. Thank you for joining us here on our Facebook Live feed. I am Pastor Lucas Cunningham, and man, we are so glad that you are joining us here with our Southside Baptist Church Sunday morning service. We hope that you've had a great week. We've had some beautiful weather this week, and we thank and we praise God for it. We want to dive in this morning, continuing a series called Through the Storm. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer, because right now we all need some prayer. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you are with us through each and every storm, that you never leave us nor forsake us. So Father, we continue to lift up our doctors, our nurses, our EMT, our firefighters, our police officers, Lord, and so many who work out there in the public, our essential workers, Lord. We thank you for them. Father, we know that we're going to get through this, and the Lord, that you will provide. May we not panic during this time, but may we run to you and trust in you, Lord, and have faith over fear. We love you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I saw a funny t-shirt that said, this is what said, I want to get this right. It said, bomb expert, if you see me running, try to catch up. There are times definitely to be concerned. There are definitely times in which you might want to get to running. But there are many times in our life that we panic when we should not panic. Panic is when that feeling of fear just overwhelms us, that we're willing to do whatever we need to do. You can probably have seen some of those videos on YouTube, or some of you watch TikTok, and you get on there and there's funny videos of someone walking up and seeing a snake that's a fake snake and they panic. Or someone throws a fake spider on that person and that person panics and they completely freak out. Well, when it's just one person, usually quickly after they panic and they are worried, they are fearful about a bug or something on them, they calm down. But when a whole society decides to panic, or a community or a nation decides to panic, you have major problems. There's been times in which we have panicked in our nation. For example, there was a radio broadcast in the 1938, it was War of the Worlds, not the movie that Tom Cruise played in, that was based off of that. But many thought, as they listened to War of the Worlds on the radio, that there was an alien invasion, and people freaked out, people panicked. In fact, some ended up taking their own lives. In 1973, there was panic at the pump. OPEC decided that it was going to place an embargo on the United States for its support of Israel. And so in response to that, so the result was an oil shortage and people panicked at the pump. That's what happened. Lines and lines and lines overnight. There's been times where some have been tempted to panic, or have not, but I can think back of 9/11. There were people who were panicking. There's been times where there's been bombings. People panicked. There's been times where we've had terrorist threats. There's been times where we've had, I remember in 2009, the H1N1. You've heard of it. Also called the swine flu. Some people panicked. Not everybody, but some people did. We've always had times in our nation where we can be tempted to panic. But you know, it seems that about every 8 to 10 years, if you think back and you look at history, there's always a major event that we must deal with. And this virus is not something that's new. It may be new to us, but it's not new to history. And so you may be tempted to panic. You may right now be tempted to just let worry overwhelm you. But all the events we've experienced in history, we've made it through. God, we have rebounded. God has shown himself to be faithful through each and every one of these storms in which we've dealt with. You know, some storms, they bring a lot of wind. Some bring less. Some will do more damage than what other storms will do. And we're going to get through this storm together. And we're going to come out on the other side stronger and better for it. There's a story in the Bible where Jesus was with his disciples. It's over in Mark chapter 4. And they get caught in a storm. And I mean, it's a storm. It's one that even makes the experienced fishermen terrified. They go into a panic. They are concerned. Let's go over to Mark chapter 4 and let's read the story of a panic in the boat. In verse 35 of chapter 4, it says, "As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's cross to the other side of the lake.' So they took Jesus in a boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed." Now, I want to give you an idea of what kind of boat they were in. They weren't in just some little John boat. I mean, there's Jesus, there's at least 12 other disciples, so there's 13 that we know of that are in this boat. Now, in 1986, they found a boat that was preserved in the bottom of the Sea of Galilee. And that's where Jesus and his disciples are at. They're on a freshwater lake they called the Sea of Galilee because they could not see the other side. It seemed as big as a sea. And this was the dimensions of this boat. It was 27 feet long by 8 foot wide by 4.5 feet tall. This is a large wooden boat. I mean, most of your pontoon boats, I'm sure you've seen a pontoon boat, they range anywhere, typically, they don't make them smaller than 20 feet, and that's considered a small pontoon boat. Many of them are 25 foot in length, give or take. So, and all of these, 4.5 feet, so surely some of that was in the water, right? So it is up probably anywhere from 2.5 to 3.5 feet. This is not a small boat. This was something that you would feel okay in. This kind of boat would easily fit 15 grown men or more, but at least 15 men. And where this is taking place, if you're not familiar with the Bible, it's taking place, like I mentioned, in the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee is the lowest lake as far as below sea level in the world. It's 680 feet below sea level. Nothing is lower than that. And so when storms come, they quickly come upon those who were on the Sea of Galilee, especially back then, not having an iPhone where you could, you know, check out the radar on the weather channel. And so it came upon them quickly. So any storm is a concern. But this is a storm that these fishermen, they were terrified. Now, when a fisherman is terrified, you should be definitely concerned. And these fishermen were. I mean, more than likely, their father was a fisherman, their grandfather was a fisherman, their great-grandfather was a fisherman. I mean, they'd heard the stories, they'd been around in the sea. These men were experienced. And so to get afraid, kind of like that bomb expert, right? If you see me running, try to catch up. When you see fishermen afraid and you're on the Sea of Galilee, you might want to catch up. You might want to pay attention. And they were terrified. At least we'll see that here. At verse 36, "So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. And the disciples woke him up, shouting." Not just saying, shouting. Shouting to Jesus, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? Don't you care, Jesus?" I mean, they're screaming at the top of their lungs. Probably how some of us have maybe shouted at our kids trying to take them through e-learning. You know it's true. "But when Jesus woke up, He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And then he asked them two questions. "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And the disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." Here they are on the Sea of Galilee. The waves are coming into the boat. Now, I don't really have a lot of fears or phobias, but I would be fearful of being stuck out in the middle of the sea or the ocean and get caught in a horrible storm where waves are coming into my boat. I would be gravely concerned. And I mean, that is something that will get your attention. I remember my father years ago was fishing on Lake Erie and a storm came upon them. If you're familiar with Lake Erie, it is a shallow lake. It's a freshwater lake just north of Ohio. It's one of the Great Lakes. And my father barely made it in. The boat behind him did not make it. In fact, all of the men passed away that were in the boat because the waves were so large. It's something that you could see why they were taking this so seriously. They had no life jackets here. They had no pool noodle to, you know, put underneath their arms. They were in a lot of trouble. You can almost picture a little bit what they may have been wanting to say as well. Have you in your family or your brothers or your siblings or maybe even with your children, someone comes up with an idea of something they should do and then it just, man, goes all haywire and someone goes, "Man, whose idea was this? This was a horrible idea." "Oh, it was his." Notice who told them to get on the boat. Jesus. Jesus said, "Hey, let's get on the boat and go on the other side." You can almost sense they're thinking, "Man, this was Jesus' idea. What was he thinking? We've seen him heal. We've seen him do all these things. What's going on?" But before you panic, remember who gave you the directions. Yeah, we may want to blame Jesus. We may want to say, "Man, whose idea was this?" But it was Jesus' idea. He told them to get in. He told them to go. And that's exactly what they did. I want you to know something. Where Jesus sends you, he will sustain you. He will sustain you. He will be with you. He will help you. You see, that's what good friends do. As a believer in Christ, Jesus is your friend. He loves you. He is a friend. He's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. And he is there for you. And so, before you panic, remember who gave you the directions. You know, where we live, when we first moved here 3 years ago, we purchased a house, and it was the only house on the road in a flood, and also a flood from a hurricane took out the road that is the easiest access to our house. You have to end up going a longer way. Well, for the first couple of years, Google and Google Maps and everyone's GPS systems would take you right to this road that was out, and people would always have to call me of how to get to my home. Now, I would always try to explain that their GPS and their Google directions would be incorrect, but oftentimes people didn't always listen or understand what I was trying to say. But once they got there and they saw that they could not get to my home, they would always end up calling me, "Lucas, how do I get to your home?" They would give me a phone call, and I would give them directions, and they would write it down, or I would go and I would meet them somewhere to bring them where they needed to go in order to get to my home. And in life, God has given us instructions. He has told us in His Word, And there are times in which there are some things we don't understand in His Word when we read it. We all are that way. And we may be wondering, okay, whose idea was this? And it was the Lord's. But where He sends you, He'll sustain you. Where He sends you, He will take care of you. And so maybe you're at a point in time in your life, maybe you start a new job and you're like, what is going on? Maybe you're undecided about what you're going to do in the future and you're searching for answers. I want you to know that when you don't completely understand the instructions of His Word or what God is doing, you can trust, you don't have to panic. You can trust that God, where He sends you, He will sustain you. And maybe what you need to do is call up God. No, you can't call Him on your cell phone or your landline, but you can get on your knees and pray. You can get on your knees and pray and say, Father, I need further instructions. The book of James says that the Lord won't turn us away when we humble ourselves and we ask for wisdom. He will give it to us. We don't have to be ashamed. He will give it to us freely. So before you panic, remember who gave you the directions. As well, before you panic, remember who's in the boat with you. Remember who's in the boat with you. You see, they had seen Jesus heal. Not just one time, but many different times, they had saw Him heal. They had saw what He had done. And in fact, last week, we talked about how God is our provider and how Jesus is enough. And He sat His disciples down and He taught them. He said, hey, listen, if the Heavenly Father, if He takes care of the birds, if He grows the lilies, you are far more valuable than the sparrows and the birds and the wildflowers. Listen, God will take care of you. And He said, you know, why do you have so little faith? And so this is after that sermon to them. And so here they have Jesus in the flesh. They had experienced the ministry of Jesus. They had seen just some wonderful, wonderful things. And here they are panicking when Jesus, who is God, is in the boat with them. Think about that. He's in the boat with them and He's sleeping. He's sleeping. He's taking a nap. You see, what caused them to panic didn't panic Jesus. What caused them to freak out wasn't a concern for Jesus. They weren't worried. You see, if they really had realized who was with them, if they really had realized who was with them, they would have realized there was no need to panic because Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, was right there in the boat with them. Nothing was going to hurt them, or He was going to take care of them. But they panicked because they didn't realize who was in the boat with them. And some of you are panicking right now because you claim to know Christ, and I pray that you do. And if you truly know Him, you'll realize who is with you. The Lord is with you. The Holy Spirit, in fact, lives inside of you to guide you in life, to convict you of sin. He is there. There's different times of filling of the Holy Spirit. In other words, controlling of the Holy Spirit. In other words, steering your life. But we, as believers, all have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit with us. He is with you. Realize who is with you. It's so easy to forget who was with us. Greg Rowery, a pastor, Greg Rowery, said this. I just love this quote. I saw this on Twitter. I wanted to add this to my sermon. He said, never trade what you do know for what you don't know. I'm going to say that again. Never trade what you do know for what you don't know. And I don't know why this has happened and what we're dealing with. I don't know when we'll have an antivirus or a vaccine. I mean, a vaccine, excuse me. An antivirus. It's not a computer. But I don't know when we'll have the answers in which we want. But I do know this. And even though I don't know those things, I know this. God is with us. God is for us. And as Scripture says, if God be for us, who can be against us? I know this, that all things work out for the good of those who love God. Do you love Him? Are you obeying Him? Are you following God? Then God will use all of this to work it out for His glory in your life. You see, before you panic, remember who's in the boat with you. Remember who put you in this situation. The Lord did. And so this is what I know. I know that God loves me. I know that He loves you. And I know He's going to work all these things out. And I know that I can have faith instead of fear. Even when I'm tempted to fear, I'm reminded that Jesus is in the boat. He's in the boat with me. He just doesn't send us into situations where we may be fearful or tempted to panic without going with us. We may not always feel that He's near. In fact, we may feel like He's asleep in our life. We may feel like, man, is God awake? Did He fall asleep? Does He see what's going on down here right now in my life? He's not asleep. He knows exactly what's going on. See, God will, He will sort all this out. So never trade what you do know for what you don't know. See, their fear was warranted in most situations. I mean, who would not be fearful? Who would not panic when you're out in the middle of a lake and the waves are going into your boat? I mean, to me, that sounds like a pretty reasonable fear, right? I mean, who would not be fearful? You'd be, I mean, there are certain things it's okay to be fearful of. Really, it is. I mean, if I saw a Bengal tiger suddenly right here in front of me, or a grizzly bear, it is normal fear and common sense to hightail out of here and get away from that danger. And if you're in a boat and the waves are coming in and you think you're going to die, that is a reasonable fear. So what's going on? Why is Jesus saying, why do you have so little faith here? This is a reasonable fear. It's not reasonable because Jesus is there in the boat with them. And what may make sense to be fearful and to panic in this situation and in our lives, it may be normal to panic for normal people, but as for Christians, as people of faith, we know that God is in control. So yes, there's common sense by all means. But realize who is with you, and He is with them here. You see, they didn't realize who was really with them. It was Jesus, Messiah, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Great Shepherd. He was with them, and they missed it. I want you to know that if you know Christ as your Savior, that He's with you. I love Psalms 23. In fact, on Wednesday nights, we've been breaking down Psalms 23. Notice what it says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to point this one thing out. At the very beginning it says, the Lord is my shepherd. Not a shepherd, but as Christians, He is our shepherd. He owns us. He leads us. He guides us. He comforts us. We have a shepherd. The Bible calls Jesus as well a great high priest who knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to go through all that we're going through. He knows. He's our shepherd. He's my shepherd. I pray and I hope that you know Him. I pray that during this pandemic which we're going through, that if you don't know Christ, that you'll think about your eternity, that you'll make a decision to become a Christ follower, to put your pride aside, to repent of your sins, and pray and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? Why not do that today? Why not make Him your shepherd? See, before you panic, remember who Jesus is. Jesus can take a fearful situation and then use it for His glory. He likes to show who He is. He'll show Himself of who He is through this pandemic. Notice what it says. It says, Jesus, in verse 39, Jesus woke up, He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was great calm. And then He asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And the disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and waves obey Him." Jesus has control over all the elements that are around us, including a virus. If He wants to take it away, He could take it away right now. If He chooses not to, then He has a reason for it. And I believe the reason is to bring revival to our hearts. For His coming, I believe, is near. I don't know when. I don't know the day. I don't know the hour. But I believe Jesus Christ is going to come again. And He uses these kind of things to get our attention, to show us how frail and how little control that we all actually have. You see, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to trust in Him and knowing that He's in control, knowing that I don't have to fear, that I can choose faith in a scary situation, and that God is in control and He will take care. And if He wants to end something, He will end it. He's God and I'm not. His ways are above my ways, far beyond that you and I can comprehend. You see, the enemy of love is not hate. The enemy of love is fear. God guarantees provision, but not necessarily prosperity. He promises to take care of you, as we saw last week. But here's a few key points about fear. Fear is selfishness. It makes us think of ourselves, whereas love makes us think of other people. Fear is also this. Fear is about self-protection. Fear keeps us hiding and keeps us from being known by others, but love makes us vulnerable and apt to be known and to love other people. Fear keeps us from trusting God. We have ideas about what God should do, and we're afraid He won't deliver. Grasping how much God loves us drives our fear and gives us peace and confidence. To overcome our fear and trust everything we have to the Lord, let Jesus shape your life. Put Jesus as your foundation. Live a life of faith. Listen to the instructions. Pray to the Lord. It'll give you peace. It'll give you comfort during this time, during the storm. There's a story years ago about John Wesley. John Wesley and his brother started the Methodist Church 200-300 years ago, about 250 years ago. But there was a time where John Wesley, I believe he's a part of the Anglican Church there in England, and he wanted to be a missionary. In fact, he came to the state of Georgia to try to reach the Indians who were there. And the 2 years in which he was here, a lot of things happened. It just was not a good experience. His brother almost passed away, got very sick. He did not enjoy his time, and it just was awful. But on the way to the state of Georgia, before he had that experience, he was in a boat. He was in a ship, in fact. And as they were headed over here, they end up getting in a horrible storm. It may have been part of a modern-day hurricane. We don't know. They didn't have, per se, hurricanes named back then. But It was an awful storm while they were out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And there were many people who were on that boat. It was such a bad storm that it broke the sails. I mean, it just devastated the ship, but it stayed afloat. During as the storm was raging on, there was a Protestant group called the Moravians. They were from Germany, and they were believers and had faith in Christ. And their reaction to the storm stood out to John Wesley. As John Wesley heard the screams and people frightened on the ship and people freaking out, there was a small group of Moravians, about 20 of them, that simply sat in the corner calmly, and they just sang. They sang hymns to the Lord. They prayed, but there was no panic as they went through this storm. No panic at all. It wasn't that they weren't concerned. They just had the attitude of, you know what? God knows where we are at. God is in control. If He takes our life, it means heaven for us. If He doesn't take our life, we get to continue to serve Him while here on earth. And the peace in which they had, it greatly impacted John Wesley. See, John Wesley, before he started the Methodist Church, he was very religious. He was very religious, but he didn't really know Christ. In fact, he wasn't saved. He was religious, but he wasn't saved. And after those 2 years of being in Georgia and everything falling apart around him, he went back and was wondering whether he should even continue in the church in which he was in and whether he should leave the faith or what he should do. But he remembered the faith of the Moravians. He remembered how they reacted. He realized there was something they had that he didn't have. And as he read through the book of Romans, he came to realize what they had. That they had put their faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ. That his works in which he was doing, that he was depending upon, of getting him into heaven, we're not going to get him in. Because as Christians, we do good works, perform good works, because we are saved. We don't do good works to be saved or to stay saved. And John Wesley realized that. John Wesley got right with God. He became a born-again Christian. And the Holy Spirit entered him, and he knew it was in a way in which he had never experienced before. He becoming friends with the leader of the Moravians greatly impacted his life. Listen, you may be watching right now, and you're religious, but you're not a born-again believer. In fact, there's probably little change between your lifestyle and the lifestyle of the people who are around you and the way they act and what they do. There's not a whole lot of knowing that they are a Christian. You see, being a Christian is not a private matter. It's one that should be shared. And I pray maybe you're like John Wesley was. You're religious, but you really don't know the Lord. You are so fearful during this time that you're not like the Moravians who were putting their complete trust in Jesus during the storm. What should you do? Put your faith in the Lord. Put it in Him completely. And when we do that, He'll calm our hearts. He'll calm our mind. We can give it all to Him. And He will take care of you. And when we do that, there will not be a reason to panic in this storm. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You that we don't have to panic as Christians. We know that You're in control. That we know that either in life or in death, that we are to live for Jesus Christ, who is worthy, because He is in the boat with us. And whether there's a time that soon or down the road that He decides to take us to home to be in heaven, or whether He gives us more time here on earth, or it's to bring glory to Your name, to share the gospel of Jesus with other people. We love You, we praise You, in the precious name of Jesus we pray, amen. God bless you all. Hope you have a wonderful week.